You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. Don't forget to click that like, subscribe, follow, you know the drill, wherever you watch, wherever you listen, and thank you so much for your support.
We're live.
Yeah.
What's up, well, I am unmuted. What's up, everybody? It's Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, and I have the lovely goddess Angel. I'm going to call you Angel Val, because I know you by Angel Val, but she's also Angel Ray and Angelica Knight as the author. All right. I hopefully have some people in the chat that will ask you some questions. I know Dawn will, of course, but there's I want to welcome you here. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're fine. I had, clue that we were going to go live, but I'm good.
Well,
at least we were talking paranormal and nothing
right? Nothing like erotic. Oh my God, girl, you should. Okay. This is off topic of all the questions I'm going to ask you. But last night I was listening because I have my computer on a speed reader thing. So it'll talk to me and read me the story. And one of your books just so happened to start. I don't know why. It just started while I was live. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh no.
Hey, it was all good. I got to promote your book, so I just thought it was hilarious. I'm so glad that this is a 18 plus stream.
Oh no, so it was one of the sexy
ones. Your erotic books, yeah, girl. No kiddos allowed. No, not on that one. But I just thought it was hilarious. It was a hilarious start to this one. They're like, yeah, sure, you were doing research. I said, I was. It's nothing but research. Come on. But I guess we could start off with that, because you don't only do erotic books. You do other books as well.
Yeah, nonfiction, paranormal, metaphysical, astrology. Yep, I have many, many genres.
Well, we can start off with, because I know religion plays a big factor in what you do. So what is your religion? So I let other people know.
I'm a spiritualist, to make it simple.
Yep. Yeah. That's always makes it easier, doesn't it?
It really does, because I don't believe in organized religion.
Right.
I can respect it, and I have many friends of many several different faiths.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. My love for them has nothing to do, on their religion. It's, as long as you're a good person, that's what I focus on. But as far as me personally, I'm not a fan of organized religion, and I believe people should follow their own path, in every way possible, and especially spiritually, because the universe has so many unique things for us directly that we tend to miss it because we're, people follow that, they fall in line of following the rules, and kind of miss a lot when you're following somebody else's rules.
Exactly. Well, it's like, of me in the past, I claim to be Christian because I do believe there's a higher power, but I also believe that all religions are connected to the same thing. I believe that they all branch out from something.
Right.
But yeah, I understand completely where you're coming from. And I was going to take a drink and I was just holding it. And I'll take a drink now. All right. Well, I know a lot of people had asked me about it because I call you goddess a lot. So that kind of pertains a lot to the pagan and to Mother Nature and all that other stuff. So I wanted people to make sure they understood your religion and I wasn't just off spouting something to them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I view all women as goddesses because we are, and we're amazing creatures. And
we are.
I like to build women up, but yes. They get credit at times too. Not as much as the women, but they get a little credit sometimes. Yeah.
Of course. So what inspired you to become an author and delve into the world of paranormal?
I kind of didn't dive into the paranormal. It
dove into me. You?
Yeah. It was like a freight train. Like, hello. Let me just completely take over your life as a kid,
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a normal childhood. Who does? I mean, when you're a medium and you can see and talk to dead people when you're a child, and my earliest recollection would be when I was in sixth grade, and this little boy was in the corner of the math class, and I knew it wasn't a living boy or anything, and he kept pointing to the window which led out to the playground. And after class that day, we had recess, we went outside, and I looked for him, couldn't find him or anything. Well, the next day, around the same time, he showed up in the same corner. And I, went home. I was like, Mom, I don't know who this little boy is. What should I do, And she said, what's he doing? I said, he's pointing to the window that leads outside, to the playground. And she's, well, when you get out there, she said, focus on him, what you saw in the room, focus on his image, and he'll probably come to you outside. I think he's just looking for a friend, And I did that, and he did show up. He, didn't stick around for long, but I knew he was there. And this went on through all of sixth and seventh grade.
Wow.
Every day, he, not in the same spot. And initially, he was in the same spot. But once we kind of connected, if I was in another class, he was there. It might not be in the corner. It might be, somewhere in the back of the room, or, he used to stand up by the teacher's desk and look at the chalkboard for some reason, like he was learning.
Right.
So it was a pretty cool experience as a kid,
I bet. Wow.
For seventh grade, we moved to Pittsburgh from up north and just didn't see him again. But yeah, the paranormal, it wasn't something I got into. It was like, here you go. You got all these kids, do something.
Right. Do something with it. Dang it. I understand. So was your mom, because it kind of sounds like your mom had that gift too. Did she have that gift?
Yeah, she couldn't really see spirits. She knew when they were around. She could read people's energy fairly well. But her thing was writing. She could go into a trance, connect with the spirit, and write out messages that the spirit wanted.
And she, you know, that was her ability. My aunties, her sisters, they had similar gifts that she had. I was the one that kind of blew their minds because I was able to do so many different things so early. They weren't expecting that. They knew I'd have some kind of ability, but to have multiple, yeah. Of guard, so they would like take turns teaching me something, and it, you know, this went on for about 3 years until I got to the point that I could go on investigations with them, or my mom specifically. And I was 13 when I went on my first investigations.
Oh wow. Now yeah, do you suggest children going on investigations, or do you suggest waiting for the
nope. I have never taken my own children on an investigation because I know those abilities are there. Quite prepared
right.
for them. And, you know, my mom got lucky because I was much wiser for my age. You know what I mean? I was what a lot of people call an old soul. So I felt like I was ready to take on all of that. I knew my children weren't.
Right.
And when they want to, or if they ever want to, they have the best teacher in the world.
Yeah, they do.
Force it, you know.
Right.
They want to, not, you don't want this. This is having these abilities. Yeah, they're great, and they can be very helpful, and they can be of service, which is why I think I have the gifts, is to be of service to the living and the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But comes, you know, that comes with a lot of sleepless nights and energy bursts that you don't know where they're coming from, and
yeah,
you don't get a lot of time to yourself. So
that is sad, because there should be like a turn off switch, or a hey, please respect, I'm still living, I gotta have sleep. You know,
the spirit, you know what I mean? But I mean, if we really want to, at least for me, I can kind of, I call it a dimmer switch almost. It kind of turns off that beacon to spirits.
Yep.
That draw them to me. I kind of dim that a little bit, and you know, I'll wear some crystals to try and help, you know, keep them at bay and just, you know, give me a breather. They're still there. I can see them. I know they're there. I can feel them. But are they up in my grill? You know, help me. And, you know, they want to chat? No, they can't do that. But
Right.
And I, the energy to do that, so because even that takes energy.
Oh, definitely. It's like, well, I wanted to get my son involved when he was younger, because he was so into like the horror movies like I was into, and into a lot of the readings and stuff. But when he turned 18, I said, so when are you gonna go on your first investigation with me? He goes, I was like, well, why not? And he goes, Mom, that's some scary stuff right there. I am not even going to touch that. I'm like, but you're like 6'3", almost 6'4", and you're a big guy. Why? What makes you scared? He goes, I can't see them. So I understand. The unseen is a little bit scary sometimes. But at the same
time, I have seen 400-pound men barreling out of a building, screaming, no less. Flashlights. I mean, all willy-nilly. And I mean, yeah, it's. I try so hard not to laugh. I honestly do. I give my best effort every time, girlfriend. I really, really, really do. But when I see that, I can't help it.
I know.
I lose it. And then, you know, they don't want to come back, not only because they got the shit scared out of them, but because they have this woman laughing at them for running out of a building, you know what I mean, by something they can't even see. I'm like, wow.
All right. Yeah. And you're tiny. You're like, what, 5'2"? 5'2"?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll see you later, you know?
We'll catch you on the flip side. Woodwalker Don, did that answer your question? Because he was like, what do you do to have your own space and peace? And you answered it pretty much.
Flip the dimmer switch, you have to, but they're always around. It's there's no getting rid of them. I wish it was that easy. Well, no, I can't even say that, because I don't know. You know, when you get to a lot of people, when they feel, you know, alone and there's really nobody to talk to or nobody that would understand, when you're a medium, you're never alone. So there is an upside to it. Like, if you're feeling down, you know, certain spirits will come to me and do what they can to cheer me up, and they'll mess with my room. They mess with Ruth, something fierce.
Aww.
And they get, you know, startled and jumping, and it makes me laugh. And it, you know, snaps me out of that bad day, you know?
Yeah.
Hilarious. they can't spook me, you know, but they startle her, and it's hilarious.
And they know it. That's why they do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, do you think that the ones that are around you or near you or people that you know or just those that were in that area to begin with or followed you? You know,
thing is, oh, there was a weird bug flying past my face. What the hell was that? Honestly, most of the spirits that kind of stick around all the time are spirits that I did not know when they were living. The ones that, you know, like my mom and loved ones and stuff like that, you know, that I kind of, they know to let me know, you know, they give me certain signs to let me know that they're around. But like my mom, you know, especially, she knows what I was meant to do with my abilities, and she knows what it is for me to be constantly dealing with spirits. So she really doesn't come around a lot. I think she goes to her grandbabies more.
Mm-hmm.
Them, because I don't need her like that, you know.
Yeah.
But the spirits that hang around me, one of them's a little boy that I met in 2006 in a house that I had just moved in. He had passed away. His mom was still living. His mom moved out. He was left there. And he kind of, you know, it was the first night we were in there. My roommate and I heard a little boy say, "Mommy." And my kids were gone. My kids were at their father's house, so there was no kids in the house.
Right.
Heard this little boy. And it didn't take me long to figure out who he was, why he was there. He was literally just kind of lost because he passed away. His mommy wasn't there anymore.
Oh, these poor baby.
Been here now, but one of them happened to be able to talk to him. Yeah. So he's stayed with me. He's still with me, but he doesn't come around too often. Every once in a while he'll let me know he's still connected. But when you connect to spirits as a medium, there's that always, it's like an eternal link almost. Mm-hmm. Like if I ever need to reach out to one of them for whatever reason, I have the ability, and it works on their way too. They can get to me when they need to. And Lily, that was molested and physically abused when she was a little girl.
Mm.
She died as an adult, though.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, her spirit reverted back to that 11-year-old little girl that was being abused. So when I was called in on this private case for the haunting, quickly discovered who it was, why she was there. But I had no idea that she was an adult when she died.
Right.
And that kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you, you know, why did you come back to this time? And she, you know, showed me very graphic details of why. And it was just one of them moments in time that we talk about as investigators, them markers, them horrible or very happy things that happened to us. And we kind of go back to that in the afterlife, and that was hers, and she couldn't escape it. So I helped her, you know, break that horrible cycle, offered for her to come with me and leave that place, you know, and let that go. It doesn't matter anymore. You're free of it. No one will ever hurt you again. Like, I had to convince her to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, and she's been with me since.
Oh.
So, I mean, yeah, and of course, I don't know if you've read any of my posts about Bob. Bob came to me at the Dead Convention,
believe
it or not, and he was attached to somebody that I met at the convention, and the living person that I met at the convention, we became very close too, but in the process, the spirit that was attached to him just kind of infiltrated my life. and my roommate's wife and our dog. God. And our guests, I'm not shitting you. We've had guests come over here and Bob has put on a show. He's tapped, he's knocked, he's made equipment go off. He's turned music off and like,
wow.
He's ridiculous. And right, and I'm talking about him and I smell his cologne right now. That's one of his signs to let me know that he's around and I love it. I love cologne. It's so
Bob, funny. You're more than welcome to do something right now. Just don't cut her off, please.
He's good for that. He's so good for that. Yeah. If he doesn't like me talking to somebody, he'll like disconnect the phone.
Oh no.
It'll be repeated and I will have to say, okay, Bob, stop, please. I need to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen. I mean, yeah, he turns on Bruce headlights, wipers, high beams. We're driving, right? And this stuff will just happen as we're driving.
Oh my gosh.
Like, just come on, the high beams will flash, the radio will, I mean, it's, you have no idea what the spirit does. And it's all in fun and he's very hard. And it's just a sweetheart, but he's one of them personalities that he liked attention when he was living,
so he likes it dead too.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, nothing's changed in the afterlife, give me my kudos, I want my credit, you know, nobody's forgetting me. And it's, he makes sure that we don't. So yeah, it's, they choose who they want to stay by and who they want to stay attached to. And you know, I'm pretty open. If they need me, they got me.
Oh, that's awesome. So there is a question, but I got to change something real quick because it did not change whenever I posted in there. podcast, because it's saying I'm playing demonologist and you're not a demon. So we're going to change that update.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Thank you, Floopy.
Pretty great mysteries. I don't know.
there's a question, but he's going through ads right now, so I'll wait till the ads are over before I ask you his question.
Okay.
But all right. So you say that Bob attached himself to you. Now that wasn't your choice. That was just him bombarding himself on you, or did you ask him to come along to take him from the other person?
I did not ask.
Okay. I thought maybe. He was forced.
No, like very slowly over like a few months time, he, you know, would give me more of him, like more images, or, you know, come around more, you know, rather than just once every few weeks or so. And it got more progressive. And then once I realized who it was, because I didn't know who it was, he showed up one day. I was actually having an issue with a stalker.
Oh gosh.
And, yeah. And I was on the phone because I went to the gym that day and the stalker was in the parking lot. And I had called the cops and they said, ma'am, has he touched you? And I was like, no. Well, we can't really do anything about a man sitting in the parking lot. It's a public blah 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 blah. And I was like, so there's nothing that I can
do. Hold that thought. Sorry, somebody subscribed. I'm sorry. Okay, it's over. Thank you, Floopy.
So I'm like, so there's nothing that you can do. You know, I was like, you guys have screenshots of messages that this man sent me. And I'm calling you, telling you he's in the parking lot of my gym and there's nothing. And he says, no, ma'am. So I'm angry. I go home. I call and try and get a hold of like the chief of police or somebody that will have some type of sympathy for me. So I'm talking to the police and I turn, I'm like pacing because I'm angry. I turn around and all of a sudden there's this man standing in my living room with his arms folded, black hat on, black shirt, black jeans. And he's like smiling at me. And I'm like, I stop and I look and I'm like, and the officer, he says, ma'am, are you there? And I'm like, yep, yep. And I turned around so I could concentrate on my conversation. What a shitty time to do this to me. You know what I mean? Like, you're just gonna show up, you know?
So hence the grin.
And I turn back around and he's still standing there. And I was like, who are you? And he said, I am Bob. And I said, okay, Bob, who do you belong to? Like, no, you're not for me. So you want to. And he showed me an image of the person's face that he was.
Oh, wow.
Living.
Nice.
So I reached out to my new friend that I met at DedCon, and I'm like, okay, please, please, please don't think I'm nuts. But your friend Bob is here, and he wants me to tell you, you know, and he gave me a personal message, and I relayed it. And I think I kind of freaked the poor guy out.
Oh,
they apparently he had just lost somebody, and it was somebody that as well. And it was, you know, it was just a comforting message.
Right.
Had no idea. I mean, I had just met this guy like maybe 3 or 4 months prior, so I had no idea what was going on in his life like that. And then, you know, but, you know, this man was my friend's best friend, and he died tragically in an accident. And, but
he wanted to comfort him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, you know, he spent a lot of years looking for somebody to talk to and communicate with. Oh. And he finds me at a convention.
You know, conventions are great, y'all.
Crazy sense. I mean, the footage that we've captured of SLS sessions, ghost box sessions with him. I mean, we had him talking to us for 2 hours one night.
Wow.
And I let him use me as a conduit to do that. But we got like 32 direct messages from him, like direct answers.
Wow.
Direct answers to my questions. And me and Ruth both were like, that's never happened.
That's amazing.
I've never been able to keep a spirit around that long to communicate. And we were using her ghost box to do it.
Well, he likes the attention. It just goes to show.
He is an attention whore. He really is.
5-star J-Dog in the chat said, I want to meet Bob.
Something. He was a Leo, so.
Ah, I'm a Leo. I'm a Leo.
Yeah. Some pride for folks.
I hate to admit it, but no, I really don't.
My best friend's a Leo, so yeah.
You know what? They say that Leos will either become the bestest of friends or the worst of enemies.
Right, yeah.
And I met you, God, how many years ago has it been now?
It was 2018 that we were in
Kentucky. 5 years. 5 years ago. And I absolutely adore you. I love you. We had... I had her on a previous podcast that I used to be on. And ever since I started my new one, she's shown nothing but support for me. So I want to thank you so much for it.
You're welcome.
do what now?
I said I got you.
Thank you.
Support to one another.
Oh, yeah, so definitely.
Madness.
Right? All the madness. Thank you so much for the subscription, dude. So appreciate you. All right, say again. I'm sorry, that was loud.
I said, what does that mean?
They're actually subscribing to the channel. So they're paying a monthly fee to subscribe to the channel to see the shows and stuff.
Awesome.
So you are bringing people in, girl. JD wants to meet Bobby. Sounds amazing. And Woodwalker had a question. Let me see if I can find that question.
Now we're going to be right back after this brief break.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more? Hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the SimCrew. Hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Sea of moons. Is it on the moon? Or in a haunted part of the Pacific Ocean? Or is it just in our heads?
What if you dreamed of meeting a beautiful Irish girl, but she turned out to be a cop? What if you dreamed that you were on TV 24/7, but only the government knew the channel? And what if you dreamed you were shipwrecked on a deserted island and rescued by five lovely castaways, only to have some real pirates ruin the party? Then you should wake up and read The Sea of Moons, the latest installment in Mac Maloney's best-selling series, codename Starman. Follow the adventures of U.S. Navy Special Agent Chris Starr as he travels the globe using his special ESP powers to solve top-secret mysteries, first in Ireland, then in Tahiti, and finally to Hollywood, where Chris and his girlfriend Angel discover the only spooks inside an old haunted house belong to the CIA. That's Codename Starman, The Sea of Moons by Mac Maloney. On sale on Amazon and in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, I told you we were going to be right back. Wasn't that long, right? Right?
He said, where is it at? Is there a type of cleansing ritual you do after a case to dispel any picked up energies?
Well, I protect myself beforehand very well. And one thing that I was taught is, you know, we have control. So I never really worry about getting an attachment like that unless I'm, you know, unless I approve it, I guess is the word, or, you know, right word. But as far as goes, if I'm in a place where I'm overrun by energy and I can't quite decipher whether it's good, bad, or, you know, whatever, then I'll do a cleansing afterwards because I'm not sure.
Right.
But for I run into many distraught spirits and surly older men that are just angry about everything. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But most of them are very accepting and welcoming, and they know why I'm there and they respect me for that. And even some of the grumpiest of spirits that other investigators have dealt with, I've gotten nothing but positive results from it. You know, because I don't go into locations with any preconceptions, with any judgment. It doesn't matter to me what a prisoner did 20 years ago. Has nothing to do with me. You know, you're a spirit, I'm a medium, let's talk.
Right.
Here, you know, and that's my attitude. So I typically don't have to cleanse myself after, you know, an investigation, whether it's a private case or just a regular investigation.
That's awesome. That's how I am too. I really don't, because I feel like I'm already protected, if that makes any sense. I know that I have.
I want to throw this in because I don't want to just spread that, you know, you shouldn't. If you are worried about it, you know, or if you're not used to protecting yourself and you're not, you know, confident in that, absolutely cleanse yourself after an investigation. It's not going to hurt anything.
Mm-mm.
At all, you know. So Palo Santo is my choice above sage, you know, kind of, it offends the darker spirits and it will, you know, keep them at bay and whatnot, but the Palo Santo is more sacred to me, and I think it does more. It not only, you know, gets rid of anything negative that you may have picked up, but it also protects you forward.
Oh, I didn't know that. And what is this?
Palo Santo. Yeah.
I have
wood. It's just the wood, and it honestly smells better than sage. and it has more attributes to it rather than just sage.
Ah. Oh, Dawn says Palo is a good one. It's wood.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, keeping with the theme right now of your spiritual encounters, what is it that you typically do? Because I know you've gone to quite a few locations, and I hate that I did not get to go with you on the one at Dead Convention. But like I told you before, I really want to do one with you without all the people, you know, which we're going to get to do in a few weeks. And I'm so stoked and excited and can't wait. I am. The closer it gets, the more stoked I am. Before, it was like, oh, God, how am I going to get all the money to go do this? And how am I going to do this? And then I just started just saying, fuck it, and saving. And now I'm ready. We're ready to go. So, Hinsdale, here we come. But when you go on these investigations, especially when you do stuff like for, say, people that need help with finding someone or people that need help with communicating with the afterlife, or even like your favorite place that you go to, and you can name it if you want to, or if you don't want to, that's fine. But how do you go in to these situations? Do you just go in and say, all right, I'm here? Or is there a way that you start everything?
For private cases, I've been called on 82 different private cases. Each one of them I approach differently because they're all different. But for the most part, I mean, altogether, in just investigations aside from private cases, I've been to over 300 different locations. So, but no, I think my biggest thing with locations is like we were talking about Hinsdale. I like the places that offer more than just spirits in a house. Do you know what I mean? Hinsdale is like, I call it the supernatural buffet. Because there's something everywhere. In the
That's
woods,
what I'm looking stoked to.
In the house, down the road. I mean, virtually everywhere. There's no escaping, you know, and that's what I like.
I'm looking forward to that too, because the only thing I've really ever experienced is like UFOs and paranormal. I've never experienced a Pukwudgie or a fairy or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we've had UFO experiences there. That's fairies. We've captured dancing orbs in the woods. I mean, twice on two different visits.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I really hope that they're there, because we saw them in August when we were there for the same week, and we saw them again, I think it was in October. It was like October-ish, and we saw them again, months later. And you see dancing lights like that in the
yeah.
house, and it's something that you will never forget. I can't wait for you to experience this.
I can't either. I am so fucking stoked. Oh my God. The closer it gets, the more energy it seems I get towards it. And it's kind of weird. I mean, I've always wanted to go to the Hinsdale house since I met Daniel, and just never really had a chance to, or, you know, a reason to really go. And when you invited me and told me, you know, hey, I'm going there, you should go, you should really experience it, I was like, wow, you know, that was just a sign for me. Right? It was a sign saying, all right, it's about time I do something. I need to go. I need to experience this. Because like the Hinsdale house, I'm like New Orleans calls to me all the time, like constantly. The Hinsdale house has been, you know, you gotta come. It's like a casual, come on.
People, I warn, not warn as in like a bad thing. I let people know that when you're a first comer to the Hinsdale house, spirits know it way ahead of time. A lot of people have dreams about the house, and
wow.
They dream about things in detail that they really couldn't know about, you know? These dreams, sometimes they'll have experiences in them. You know, the spirits know way before. They'll mess with, like, your car, they'll mess with your GPS before you get there, they mess with you when you're there, they mess with you when you leave. I mean,
just let me get there, that's all I ask.
Right?
Just let me get there, because that's an 18-hour drive.
Oh, and, baby girl, I don't know how y'all doing it.
We got a bed. We're gonna drive one full day, because I've got a bed that kind of fits in the back of the van that makes it into a full size bed. So we should sleep fine as long as the front person doesn't slam on brakes. but we're going to take turns. Like, she's going to start. She's going to sleep in the beginning, or when she gets tired. Because I can drive for a good 14 hours sometimes and be OK. But if I do get sleepy, she'll take over and I'll just go in the back and sleep. And we should be there. We should be there if we leave at maybe 10, 11 that morning on the 7th. We should be there by like 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe a little earlier on the 8th. And then what we'll do is just we'll go get some breakfast somewhere and everything before we head to the house. We're good.
We'll be there by noon. I mean, probably before that, but yeah, we'll be there by noon.
There is one thing I want to experience while I'm in New York, and I want pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Pizza? You want the New York slice, the big old fold?
Yes.
I think it's called Crosby's. That's right down the road from Hinsdale.
Oh,
I
sweet.
Will not read down the road, but down the road and around the corner. But yeah, we can definitely do a pizza night. Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah, and then I don't know what I'm making, but I usually take a big crock pot of something. So everybody just kind of, you know, whenever they're hungry, gets that. And
sweet. Yeah, I'll bring snacks and cakes or whatever. I'll be bringing those, so that's no problem. We'll have food.
Yeah, I don't let my people go hungry.
But oh gosh, I do what now?
I said I'm definitely the cook of the group.
That's fine, because I stopped cooking a while ago. Since he's been home, he's been cooking. Oh, Dawn said that was one of those orbs was me. I was making some moon water. Just kidding. So what are some of your most memorable experiences or spirits that have attached themselves to you?
There was one, you know, it's impossible not to talk about Hinsdale because,
yeah.
I think the one that really, it was the most graphic, heartbreaking, memorable spirits that I encountered at Hinsdale. You'll see it. There's a closet in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got in the closet. And there was a chair in there, and I sat down, and I could hear somebody in the closet with me, and there shouldn't have been anybody, but I didn't want to open my eyes because I didn't want to freak myself out too quick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I put my eyes closed, and I could hear shifting and, you know, like clothing rubbing against each other and, you know, that kind of thing. And I kind of put it out, my intention out there, like, okay, look, I'm going to open my eyes, please take it easy on me, you know. I was like, you know, I put it out there, I'm a medium, I know you know this, so just kind of ease me into this, you know. So I opened my eyes very slowly, and there's a tall black gentleman standing in front of me. He had on torn pants, a white shirt. The shirt was way too big for him. There was blood on it, it was torn. I kind of focused on the blood on his shirt for a moment, and then slowly I scaled up to his face, and when he opened his mouth, blood came out. He showed me there was no tongue. Somebody cut out his tongue.
Oh God.
And the smell of blood, it consumed me. I was very nauseous very quickly, but I knew that it took a lot for this man to show me that. And him,
mm-hmm.
I just didn't have the heart to leave him.
Right.
I was like, who does that to somebody? They're
right.
Showing you at the most vulnerable, painful part of their life, probably. And you're going to run, you know, like I couldn't do it. So I stood there and I looked at him eye to eye and, you know, embraced what he was showing me. And it probably, he was there for a good minute, maybe 2 minutes. And then he just slowly dissipated. But the smell of blood remained for hours.
Oh,
I could
gosh.
Not get it in my nostrils. And that, yeah, so I ended up finding some lavender oil that I had in my equipment bag. I didn't even know why it was in there. Don't know how it got in there, but I got that and I put some under my nostrils and it took away that blood smell. But
oh my gosh,
that was the hardest experiences I've had with the spirit. You know, because like I said, not all of them, most of them are very pleasant.
Right.
You know, his was not. And yeah, that is
so sad.
About him just about every day, you know, and I let him know that I think about him every day, you know, how I just have that sympathy for whatever he went through. I'm hoping one day he shares a story with me. You know, all he's done is given me that image and shared his time with me. He hasn't given me his story yet. So
now, has any of these spirits influenced you into writing the books that you've written?
Not anyone in particular. No, just most of my books are my life in the paranormal, and teaching others, because there's too many. I don't have any problem with differences of opinion, but there's too many people out there treating it as a game.
Yeah, they are.
And you know, possibly and potentially putting people in harm's way by teaching them things, you know, how to open portals and, you know, not closing them properly and all these. It's
oh my God.
To me, because I've seen what those kinds of things can do to people, because that's when I'm called in
to fix
help
it.
Somebody that opened a portal and now they can't close it and they're being haunted and, you know, and they're being overrun and their families, you know, driving them nuts and their life is falling apart. And, you know, then I get called in to fix it. Like, so I try my best to teach people the proper way to investigate, the proper way to communicate with the spirits, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's how it should be. I mean, a lot of people don't have the respect for it, and it makes people like you and I and the ones that are really out there to prove that this stuff does exist and how to handle it and how to go forth with it look bad. I mean, we look like clowns sometimes because there's those people out there.
I'm amazed still when, you know, when I tell somebody, treat them the way you want to be treated. The dumbfounded looks on some people's faces, and I was like, I don't understand. Why is this so hard to understand?
I know.
I mean, just because they're dead, they don't deserve respect, you know?
Right?
It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely.
People, just not in their vessels anymore, but the essence of them still exists. I mean, why would you treat them like that? Yeah, I get very protective when it comes to spirits, because I kind of feel like their advocate, you know, not just me, but any of us
right.
that are mediums and can talk to them. We're their advocate, you know, we're the advocates for them.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So,
well, a lot of time you don't know if you're going into a building and you're speaking to a child or maybe somebody that was not all there in their head or anything. So you go in there and you start provoking. What are you provoking? Do you even know? Can you see? Always go in there. I like, you. Well, you know me, I like spouting jokes and stuff. So I like going in with jokes or just a familiarity, kind of like the Wright County Museum that I went to. I had to be told, hey, you're a soldier, right? And yeah. Well, these are soldiers too. Talk to them like they're soldiers. Well, duh. You know, that was a dumb moment for me.
Right, right. Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Like insane asylums and, you know, mental hospitals and things like that. Like, you know, a lot of times those people couldn't talk. They would have to grunt or growl, or they'd have to grab at you because they were tight, you know. There's different scenarios in places like that. And, you know, I, just as I am with living people, you know, special needs, you know, when my mom had dementia, I was impressed by the patience that I had with her. You know what I mean? I'm just good with people like that. And when it comes to mental and, you know, hospitals, I've seen investigators go in there and, you know, oh, I heard a growl or I heard a grunt, and they automatically start provoking and think that they're being threatened, you know. And I'm like, common sense, people.
Right.
Like, these people couldn't talk. Either they were over drugged and over medicated, or, you know, they couldn't speak properly. They had speech problems. It, you know, it could be anything. And it's just automatically jumped to they're being threatened. And
well, it's kind of like the three knocks and the three taps. Everybody automatically thinks or assumes it's evil or it's the devil. Not necessarily. When I go knocking on something, it's sometimes three knocks.
It's rhythmic is what it is. It's what we're used to doing. Mm-hmm. It's what we're used to doing, you know? Yep. Yeah, I know. It people frustrate me.
I understand completely. Don has another question for you. He says, have you ever had that instance where what you come across or comes across you is one of those that feels to make every cell start screaming? This has no good intentions and just feels dark enough to turn your stomach almost.
I've had a few experiences like that. But once I feel the onset of it and I know it's like a darker energy, I immediately put my, you know, my protection wards up and I keep it at bay. But they're out there. There's not much you can do other than, you know, people have to remind themselves we are in control and there are rules in the afterlife, you know, and, you know, you can put that out there that stay away from me. You know, I don't want you near me. You know, we have to always remain in control. And I honestly can't say I've never come across a demon. I have come across very dark, ancient, old beings. But I would not classify them as demons by any means. They were summoned. They got stuck because humans are stupid.
And they are.
And they have no idea what they're summoning half the time. And, you know, there's creatures out there that get summoned and just pulled out, you know, into our existence. And they were just minding their own business. And some moron decides, well, let's just summon, you know, a creature today. And then they get stuck. So.
Right. Sometimes you feel bad for the creature because they're like, ugh.
I mean, how would you feel like being ripped out of your existence and out of your dimension? You know what I mean?
Right.
What it is. Like, yeah.
Understandable. Well, I know you just spoke about your experience in the paranormal with your nonfiction stuff. Now, what about your fiction stuff? We're going there, people. Your erotic stuff.
Erotic.
Yeah.
It's probably my most favorite to write, without a doubt, because with nonfiction, there's, you know, if I have a million facts in this brain, I still have to research. I still have to make sure everything correlates with what I'm saying to what's actually, you know, factual, you know.
Right.
With fiction, it's all imagination. It's all created from the first word to the ending, all in my head, you know. Personal experiences, seeing what my friends have gone through in relationships, that kind of thing. You know, I touch on a lot of my characters having insecurities, because we do, and it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and it's not like in the movies and everybody's beautiful and unflawed, and, you know, and nobody comes with baggage. It's bullshit. Everybody has baggage. Everybody has insecurities. I don't care who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does.
Definitely.
So I bring that to light in a lot of my stories, because I hate the thought that people feel alone, you know, with, you know, just reading something that maybe I have been through or somebody else has been through in one of my stories, and somebody can read that and be like, wow, I went through that, you know, and just be able to relate to it. So it's not just about, you know, erotica and the naughty scenes. Like, my stories typically have a moral story to it, and a positive message, and, you know, loving your body the way it is, and, you know, demanding to be loved and respected and that kind of thing. So.
Understandable. Hey, somebody wanted your attention.
It happens a lot on this street. I'm on this porch from like morning till night. I love it. I love being out here. So,
is it hot where you are right now?
It's a little humid. Yeah,
It's been humid in a lot of places that's normally not that humid lately.
Yeah,
just a lot of places.
They were melting. I'm like, babies.
So when, you have a podcast too, and I know you have your books. You have over 50 titles to your name. You're currently working on 2 books right now?
Yep. Yep, 51 and 52.
Oh my gosh. Now, are these in the nonfiction category, or are they in the...
One is fiction and one is nonfiction.
And the fiction one is the one you're doing with Daniel, right?
No, my part of that is pretty much done. I'm kind of waiting on Mr. Dan, the man, to get his shit together. So what has happened is, you know, I had finished my part of the book. Well, thinking that he was going to finish his too, I thought that was the end of it. Well, this next month when we go to Hinsdale, that's going to be like my 4th trip
since we
were supposed to be done with the book. So I keep having to add stuff to it too. So whatever happens to us next month will go into that book too. So I'm just going to get shit together. That's gonna be like a big book, but no, that's not even counting his. The one I'm working on is called Spirit Talkers, and it's about people like me that are psychic mediums, that, you know, what we do with our gifts and how we, you know, be of service to others. And that's what, for me, that's why I think I have the gifts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try and probably get a couple more psychic mediums and put their stories in there as well. And just kind of give people an idea of all the different abilities that people can have, how to, you know, kind of tap into them. And just kind of my story, you know, how I developed my abilities and what I do with them. So that's that one. And then the fiction, it's actually about an all-girl band.
Sweet.
It's called Lust Bunny. And the name came through, I was doing an interview for one of my erotica books. And for some weird reason, a guy that was in the chat room called me a lust bunny. I don't know what it meant. I have no idea what it meant, but for whatever reason, it stuck. And I had a dream that night that I wrote a book called Lust Bunny. And I'm like, am I supposed to do this? And then as soon as I thought of the title, I'm like, that'd be a kind of a cool name for like a rock group, you know, rock band.
Yeah.
And it just kind of flew from there. So that's what I'm working on now.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to read it. Don asked, do you believe in those that only get referred to as elements?
Elementals?
Yeah.
Is that what he means?
Elementals. Okay. Yeah. I said it wrong.
So, fairy folk, the fae folk.
Yep.
Do believe in them. Yes, absolutely. I've seen them. I work with nature, with my beliefs and my practices. So I've used fairy magic at times. So, yeah. I think they're amazing.
And that concludes part one of Angel Veo, author and sensitive. She is so blessed, you guys, and she is such an amazing, amazing person. You can find her books under Angelica Knight or Angel Ray, R-A-E, over on Amazon. Beware, they are a little erotic, so 18 and up, please. Thank you, guys, and see you guys next week. Bye, y'all.